Go to 1 Kings. Share something with you tonight, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And as you go over there, you think about this. In Revelation chapter 4, the rapture takes place. And then the rest of chapter 4 and chapter 5 are scenes in heaven. Tribulation period starts in chapter 6. But there's a phrase in Revelation chapter 5 that also appears in Revelation chapter 14. And the Bible says that they're around the throne, and they're giving honor and glory to the one who redeemed a God by his blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's what our God's doing, guys. And I appreciate, folks, the mission board back there. Man, I take my hat off to you. Just, you guys just trying to, listen, do you realize that Marion, South Carolina is just as much as part of the world as Ghana, West Africa? Right. Amen. Aren't you glad you know the truth tonight? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you know the true and living God tonight? Amen. And besides him, there is no other. Right. You come over to 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah comes on the scene, and there's a famine in the land. And you guys, all of us familiar with the Old Testament, knows that when there's a famine in the land, especially in the children of Israel, that God would use famine for judgment. And one of the reasons he was judging Israel at this time is because they had a wicked king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And they had brought false gods into the land. And guys, I'm going to tell you, listen, when we bring false gods into our lives or into our homes, it's going to get the attention of our Father. Go ahead. And so there was a famine in the land. And so God comes to Elijah here in chapter 17 and verse 1. And he says, Elijah, and Elijah's name means Jehovah is God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And so in this time, God is wanting Elijah to go hide himself. You know, it's important to do what God wants us to do. The Bible says in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So there's a famine in the land, and so God says, all right, Elijah, you get by the brook. I'm going to take care of you by the brook with the water, and the ravens are going to feed you there. Right. And now God says, all right, now it's time to move, Elijah. I've got something else for you. I'm going to have a widow woman that's going to take care of you. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, she and he in her house, and did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. And the Bible says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. And I just want to share some thoughts with you tonight on what happens when you put God first. Amen. What happens when you put God first? We love you today, Lord. We acknowledge that we love you tonight, Lord, because you first loved us. God, we never did. Someone says, I found the Lord. Nobody found the Lord. God, you went looking for us. And God, I thank you that over 31 years ago, God, you touched another Christian's heart to give me an invitation to church. I didn't go the first time, but God, after a couple weeks, Lord, I reckon he was praying for me in his room. I don't know. But God, I went to church and got saved and ain't been the same ever since. And I praise your holy name. I thank you, God, that you're rich in mercy tonight. Oh, God, that you're quick to pardon and ready to save. And Lord, I pray in these next few moments, the precious Holy Spirit, afresh and anew, would just impress upon our hearts about putting you first. Lord, we realize tonight as your youngins, all of us that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, God, if we don't put you first, who's going to? And God, there's no other place for you but first place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What happens when you put God first? Remember when Moses came down from Sinai with the Ten Commandments and the tablets, he said in Exodus 20, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's first thing God said off right off the get-go. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if we're not careful, sometimes we got the idea, well, I'm not rubbing a Buddha in my house, and I ain't got a big belly there, and I ain't got this and this. I found this out, guys. Sometimes a God can be a person. It can be a position. It can be a pleasure. Yeah, it can be a pleasure. It can be possessions. Remember that one that the Lord went to the rich man. And you and I know you and I don't get saved by selling all our goods and giving to the poor and following him. Jesus was just trying to show him, I want your heart and I don't have your heart. Your possessions have your heart. The Bible says he went away sorrowfully. And what's interesting about it, the Lord never went after him. Oh, God, help. Sometimes power, yes, sir, power and position and pleasure and possessions and people can be a God. But he said, you should have no other gods before me. And then Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said in chapter 1, and he is the head of the body, referring to the Lord Jesus, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence. He's to have the preeminence in my home. He's to have the preeminence. Let me back up. He's to have the preeminence in my life. Listen, Jesus ain't never going to have the preeminence in my home if he don't have it in my life.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. He's got to have it in my life, and then it'll be in the home, and then it'll be in the church. If Christ doesn't have preeminence in the church, it's because he doesn't have preeminence in the members of the church. Amen. He's supposed to have the preeminence. Aren't you? Listen, Jesus gave his blood for the open door. Yes, sir. Jesus gave his blood. I appreciate your pastor. He'll be the first one to tell you, this ain't his church, it's Jesus' church. And he put him here to go the way he, Jesus, wants it to go. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you know the Lord God tonight? And he is supposed to be the preeminent one.
Amen.
Yes, what happens when you put God first? Just a couple things here tonight. Number one, when you and I put God first, we honor God with obedience. When you and I put him first, we honor God with obedience. Again, verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I tend to believe that maybe God had spoken to this woman before Elijah got there. I don't know how. Said, hey, someone's going to come and this is what's going to take place. But she was on her way. She was on her way to make this the last bit of meal she had. Listen, she didn't want to die on an empty stomach. She was on her way, was going to make this meal and then give to her and her son, and they was going to die. And then God laid it upon Elijah's heart to go and tell her, you give to me first. Imagine you saving up all your money. Imagine you saving up all your money and just before 2 days. Well, just say, tomorrow your electric bill is going to be turned off and you saved your money so they wouldn't cut off your electric bill. And I come to your house tonight or maybe early in the morning before any of the businesses open up. And I come to your house and say, give to me first. you'd say, Brother John, I don't know you that well, and we're both Christians, and I do love you, wish the best for you, but you're out of your mind. You know, you think about what took place here, that you and I honor God by putting him first, but you think about it. Elijah, listen, it really started off with Elijah. Elijah had to go to that woman and say, give to me first. That's why I believe that we need to pray for our preachers. We had an altar last night at our house, and we prayed for our pastor. I pray that you prayed for your pastor. You know, sometimes it's hard to come. You know, we're living in a world today that people want itching ears, and they want the messages that they want instead of the messages that they need. And God may touch your pastor's heart and lay a message on his heart. And he says, Lord, I love these people, and I've known, but Lord, it may not go over well. And the Lord says, I know, but if you're going to honor me, this is what you're going to have to preach, even if they think you're crazy. That's why we need to pray for our pastor. Amen. My pastor's 5 years younger than me, but I love my pastor. I pray for my pastor. I remember when I first joined that church. I was a missionary. I was out of that church, and I first joined it. And preacher, I couldn't believe it. This fellow there, he's a nice fellow, but they tested me. He started asking me some things about the pastor. What'd you do, Brother John? I looked at him and said, I'm going to tell you something about my preacher. If the Holy Spirit leads him to do something, I believe he'll do it. And if he don't, that's all right with me. Amen. Amen. I love my pastor. I pray for my pastor. I pray that God will give him the courage to say stuff that I need to hear, even when I don't want to hear it, because it's the best for me. I'm talking about honoring God. How does she honor God? She minded the man of God when he said, give to me first. Why? That's what God told him to say. And thank God that you have a preacher that loves you. Thanks God for the help you give him and preaches the word of God and thus saith the Lord. And by the way, that's the kind of preacher you ought to want. If we're going to honor God and churches are going to honor God, they want a preacher that said, Lord, I want him to love you and to please you above everybody else. You ought to pray for your, I pray that you, hey, have your children heard you pray for your preacher? Have your children heard you pray for your preacher? Hubby, has wifey heard you pray for your preacher? Amen. I'd be very careful about criticizing my preacher. I ain't never prayed for him. Amen. Let me ask y'all something. Let me ask you, everything I said, don't you think it honor God? I ain't said anything to you that wouldn't honor God, did I?
Right.
Love you, preacher. Pray for him. Preacher I got saved under, I got called to preach under, cancer got him. He's in heaven now. I miss him. Amen. See, it's all tied in with honoring God. All tied in with honoring God. This would have never happened unless Elijah said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go tell this woman who just got a little bit left and go and feed her and her boy, you give to me first. That's what the Lord told him to do, wasn't it? And he wouldn't have been honoring God if he didn't do what God told him to do. I'm finding more and more that in my Christian life. I don't want anybody, I don't care if it's my preacher or anybody, don't do anything that goes against the Holy Ghost leadership in your life.
Bruh.
I don't want anybody to go against Holy Ghost leadership when it comes to me. I want them to follow God and love God and honor God. And I want to be like Jonathan. If God's hand's on somebody and God's honoring somebody, I want to push him through like he did David.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm talking about honoring God. I'm talking about putting God first. There was three Hebrew boys. Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to bow. They said, we ain't going to do it. If you don't bow, you're going to burn. And the world is like this. Young people, the world is like this. You may say no to sin the first time. They're going to come back the second time, young people. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar said, you must not heard me. Let me give you a second chance. And if you read Daniel chapter 3, and I may paraphrase here a little bit, guys, but you stay with me. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the Ten Commandments. They knew that they were not supposed to have any other gods before me. So they just said, hey, we don't know whether God's going to deliver us or not. We just know one thing. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before us, and we are not going to bow before this image. And they got thrown in the fire. And who was in the fire waiting for them? The Lord was in the fire waiting for them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I thought we threw three in there. There's four in there. And the ones that threw them up, they got burned up and killed. Nebuchadnezzar pulled them out. And Nebuchadnezzar said, your God is the true and living God. But it would have never happened if they didn't honor God. And I wonder in my life how many times people hadn't seen God down on the job and in my family and in my ministry because I didn't honor God. Say, Brother John, how you honor God? Just simply by doing what God says.
Yes, sir. Right.
Talking about honoring God. Here's a second thought tonight. Not only honoring God when we put God first, but number two, we take part in God's work. When you and I honor God, I mean, when we put God first, we take part in God's work. Remember, who is Elijah? Elijah was God's prophet. And in the Old Testament, Israel was to stay and shine. In the New Testament, we're supposed to go and glow. And when Elijah said, give me first, she was literally, he was preaching God's word. She was taking care of God's man, and she was taking care of the work of God. And can I be honest with you? Because it's even a little bit uneasy for me right now. But it's right. And I don't know what God, but it is right. Even when I know things are tough and, listen, I understand what it's like. I bumped almost $100 putting some gas in vehicles yesterday. But guys, it's still right to honor God and put Him first and take part in God's work with our tithes and our offerings. Why is it sometimes that God's work is the first thing that suffers? And by the way, where your heart is least at is what's going to happen. We're telling on ourselves. This is God's word. This ain't the preacher's word. This is God's word. Hey, I made $500 a week. I pay $50. Things have gotten tough. I'm only making $30, $300 a week. I'm still going to pay $30. You understand what I'm saying? My standard of living may change, but my standard of giving ought not to change. Guys, I'm talking about putting God first. I'm talking about taking part in the work of God. They tried to get Nehemiah down. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. I'm not coming down from the wall. Now get it. Watch it. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. Look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal, what happened, guys? Wasted. Woo! Wasted not. What are you talking about, Brother John? The only stuff that's done for God is the only thing that won't waste. That's the only thing that's not going to waste. You guys are familiar with this passage in Matthew 6. I'll read it to you. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Guys, do you realize what you and I value most indicates the kind of heart we have? Greed or generosity, hoarding or helping, money or ministry. Guys, when we put God first, we take care. We take part in the work of God with our tithes and offerings. We help around the local church. And then as God lays upon our hearts to give a part in missions, then we help in the work of God worldwide.
Right.
Listen, Elijah, what happened after this? You go to chapter 18, the Bible says that God told Elijah to go show himself. And he went and told Ahab, you're the reason. You're the reason why there's a famine in the land. And then God had to go. And then Elijah, God brought Elisha around. And for 10 years, Elijah mentored Elisha.
Right.
And then he had to go anoint some kings. And then God took Elijah out of here. And Elisha carried the ministry on. What are you getting at? This widow woman way back here helped take part of the work of God as Elijah continued to serve God. Guys, you tell me what is greater than the work of God? Nothing. I believe I'm talking to people that believe that. That's why you're here tonight. You believe that?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about what happens when you put God first. You honor God with obedience. You take part in God's work. Here's a third thing. You have your needs met. We're living in the days, and all of us, and I guess I'm just going to tell them myself. I guess I'll tell them myself. And if you're not like this, I'll take my hat off to you. I mean, but every once in a while, a little tinge of fear come to you. Just, man, what are we going to do? I don't know where these gas prices are going to go. It's the blind leading the blind. I could share some other stories with you. You say you got short time. I could tell you about short meetings. We could go back and forth about different things going on. And sometimes, because we've got that sin nature, we're human, our hearts sometimes will fill up with fear.
Right.
The devil's a master trying to get us down the road. Yeah. Remember, God told the children of Israel, I'm going to feed you with manna out of heaven, and I don't want you to take but once a day and step on that what? That sixth day, take one for the Sabbath day. And if they took more than one a day, the worms ate it up.
Yeah.
I believe God's trying to get all of us to walk by faith. Hey, listen, God's taking care of us this far. He's going to take care of us all the way to the house.
Yeah.
And when you and I put God first, we're going to have our needs met. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Right.
And all these things shall be added unto you. And you read Matthew 6, and it's talking about the things that you and I need. Now, here's something I want us to see here. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. The Bible says in verse 3, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself, the Lord telling Elijah, go hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded thee, and the ravens. The ravens was a dirty animal. You know, God, listen, you and I need to realize God will use who He wants to use to accomplish His purposes. And then He says, the ravens to feed thee. What's that next word, guys? There. There. All right. Go over to verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee verse 9. Get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell what? Dwell what? There. You know what I found out, guys? If you and I are there, God's going to take care of us.
Amen.
If you and I are there,
Amen.
God's going to provide for us. If you and I are there, God's going to protect for us. Hey, they was looking for Elijah. Oh, Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah. And where does God send Elijah to? To Jezebel's hometown.
Yeah.
There was her hometown. Let me ask you tonight, are you there? Are you there? Are you and I there in our home? Are you and I there where we're supposed to? Are we at the job God wants us to be? Are you and I there at the church we're at? Are you and I there? It's important that you and I are there.
Right.
God's going to take care of us there.
Amen. Good.
Are you and I there tonight? Are we at the place God wants us to be in our walk with Him? In the things in our lives, in our relationships? Are we there where God wants us to be? I want to share something else with you here that God has touched with me about. God told Elijah, I want you to get by the brook. The brook started to dry up, and a lot of you guys, probably fishermen and hunters and stuff, I don't think the brook just dried up overnight. I think as Elijah woke up each morning, he could start seeing the roots on the bank. The stream got a little slower. Next thing you know, it just dried up. If Elijah was like a lot of us, we would have been planning and conniving and finagling and just trying to do all kind of stuff. Let me ask us tonight, put your thinking cap on, why did Elijah leave the brook and go to the widow woman? Because the brook dried up, circumstances, or because the word of the Lord came to him and said, go. And guys, we got to be careful, especially in this day and age with so many changes going on, that we don't let our feelings and our circumstances determine our walk with God and where we're at, that we listen to the word of God that's a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. A good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Let's make sure our decisions are based upon the word of God.
Right.
He moved to Zarephath because God told him. What happens, Brother John, when you put God first? We honor God. We take part in God's work. We have our needs met. And I want to go on record tonight. I'll be honest with you. I'll have some wants. I do. I'll be honest with you. I have some wants. And many of them ain't got anything to do with the ministry.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, God's met every one of my needs.
Amen.
Has he not met every one of your needs?
Yes, sir.
And guys, can I encourage every one of us? I'm preaching at me if I ain't preaching to nobody. Let's make careful, guys, that we don't give off the idea to a lost and dying world that our Father's not taking care of us.
Right.
Let's be careful, guys.
Yes, sir.
Let's be careful. Let's be careful. Carry my Bible, read it at the house, come to church when the doors are open, but go to my job, go around my peoples, and give them the impression my Father's not taking care of me. Do you realize tonight that the Trinity has never had an emergency session? Do you realize tonight that the reins of the universe have never been out of the hands of God?
Right. Amen.
Brother John, you understand everything that's going on? My goodness, I don't. Vance Havner said the fellow that got all the answers knows too much. But I know one who's in charge. And if I put him first, it'll honor him. I'll take part in God's work. I'll have my needs met. Number four, peace will replace fear. Peace will replace fear. Look at verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first." Look at verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." You know, the Bible's very clear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How was peace going to replace fear with her? Remember, Elijah said, "Fear not, give to me first." You know what Elijah was telling her? When you put God first, peace will replace fear. Let me ask all of us tonight. Let's look at our prayer life for a minute. You have some friends here at the church, and let's say you're praying about things, and we're always agitated, and when we say, "Hey, is you heard anything yet?" "No." "Has God answered the prayer?" "No." And all this, and we'll stay agitated all the time. "Well, aren't you praying about it?" "Yeah, and I got you praying about it, and I got other people praying." What's causing that agitation? What's causing that irritability? I believe this with all my heart. That's one side. Then the other side, you know somebody in the church here, and they're so calm, and maybe a week or two ago, they were just all fluttered and flustered, and they begin to ask you to pray about stuff, and you come up to them and say, "Man, there's a peace over you. What's going on? What happened? Did you get that job promotion? Did you get that loan that you needed? Did you get that other car that you needed? Did that need get met? What happened? Man, something happened." "Nothing's happened." "What you mean nothing?" No, I ain't heard anything yet. "But what's going on? I got with God, and I got alone with God, and I said, 'Not my will, but thine be done.' And I said, 'God, I put you first in this. It's not what I want, but it's what you want.'" And all of a sudden, the peace comes over us. Are y'all with me? That's why we stay agitated a lot. Oh, we'll pray about it. We'll come to the altar. But in reality, we're hoping it works out our way.
Right.
Somebody said that every one of us are living by one or two philosophies. We're either living by Satan's philosophy in Isaiah 14, "I will, I will, I will." Or we're living by the Savior's philosophy in Luke 22, "Thy will, thy will, thy will." God help us.
Right.
I mean it, guys. If we don't put God first in our prayer life, I'm going to tell you there's going to be fear there. We're going to bite our nails. How's it going to work out? I don't know all this. And by the way, can I say this? We're winding down here. Can I say this? Sometimes, I have probably done this. Well, let me back up. No doubt I have done this, okay? No probably about it, all right? Somebody, Brother Shelley, he used to always a pastor. People would come and ask you to pray about stuff. Say, "Brother John, keep it to you up so far." I said, "Okay." You'd see him, and every service you'd see him, say, "How'd it go? And they sometimes they'd come to you and say, "God didn't answer that prayer." Maybe it was they didn't have to have surgery. They was praying they didn't have to have surgery. Or maybe they needed some extra money for something, or was hoping to get that job promotion. Maybe there was a raise for another position on the job. And they'll come to you and say, "God didn't answer prayer." And guys, and maybe all of us in here got this settled, but just to help all of us. When they come and say, God didn't answer that prayer, what do you mean that he didn't answer that prayer? Well, I still got to have surgery. Then God did answer the prayer. It was, you're going to have surgery. Well, what do you mean God didn't answer the prayer? Well, I didn't get that promotion. God did answer the prayer. It was no. And we got to be careful as Christians. We got this idea of God don't answer it the way we want it to. He didn't answer it. Yes, he did. Are y'all with me? Yes, he did. It goes all back. I don't know about you. We're living in crazy days. I want God to put a peace in my heart. I want people to see me. I'm not perfect, but to see there's a calmness. Not always. I know there'll be periods of time, but not a constant state of ruffleness and irritability. And my wife's probably saying, amen, preach it to me. But guys, I found this out when I put God first. I said, Lord, I just want your will done. God, I ain't going to fight you. I want to follow you. Right. However you'll get honor and glory, God, a peace will replace a fear. How is it tonight? Maybe there's something that we need to lay at the altar and say, Lord, I've been giving it to you, but I'm giving it to you now saying, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you want. I'll share this with you about my daughters, about my youngest daughter. I guess it was just a couple years ago, Pastor, that I finally came to the conclusion, my wife and I got together and said, Lord, please help us. If your will for our daughter is not what we thought it ought to be, please help us to accept it. You know, God help me. God's helped me with that. Lord, if what your will for my daughter is not what I thought it should be, help me to accept it. We're talking about putting God first, guys. Is he first in our prayer life? You know, the revelation says that we're here and we're created for his pleasure. Look at this one here. What happens, Brother John, when you put God first? You honor God. You take part in God's work. We have our needs met. Peace replaces fear. Then I like this one. You get to see God work. Are y'all with me? She would have never saw that barrel meal. Can you imagine every day? This thing was empty yesterday. Now I keep going back and it's there and it's there. And the oil never. She would have never saw that. She would have never saw that if she didn't put God first. That lad with the loaves, he'd have never saw God feed thousands if he wouldn't have just given God what he has. And by the way, God don't want what we don't have. He just wants what we have. And not only that, after this took place, her son got ill and died. And then she went back to the man of God. I like getting my pastor praying for me. She went back to the man of God. The same man of God that she obeyed when the Lord said, give me first. That's God's word. All right, preacher, I'll do it. She went back to the preacher when her son died. What she was doing is she was going back to God. She said, here's my son. And you read it. And Elijah prayed for her son. And that boy was raised up. Yeah. But she would have never seen it if she didn't put God first. Right. I used to tell our folk when I pastored, I love you. But why in the world do you come to my office and always complain, but never come to my office and let me pray for you? Let me pray for you. Let me be your pastor. And I believe this with all my heart. And God knows I ain't trying to be self-promoting or anything like that. But I believe, I look back in my life and there's some things I saw God do, I believe, because I went to my pastor and I said, would you pray for me? I don't want to ever be so full of pride that I can't go to my pastor and say, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me. Right. Amen. She got to see God work. We got to bring this thing home now. Let's bring it home. What happens when you put God first? You honor God? Is there any higher thing on this planet than to honor God? They can have the presidency all day long. Spurgeon said he'd have to step down to take it. You've got to take part in God's work. United Nations ain't got nothing on God's work. You get to have your needs met. You get to have peace replace fear. You tell me, is there enough money in this whole wide world to buy the peace of God that can be put in your heart and mind? You get to see God work. I don't know about you guys. I still want to see God work in my life, in my ministry. And I know you guys have the same desire.
Amen.
Don't you want to see God work in your family?
Yeah.
I have no right to ask God to work in my child's life and her make spiritual decisions if I'm not putting him first. And then as we wind down, guys, as we wind down, and every time I get to this thought, it convicts me. But when you and I put God first, you get to know the Lord more. Paul said that I may know him. The psalmist said, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I challenge and ask every one of us this very evening, is there somebody that we desire more than the Lord? I love my wife. She's been kind to me. I think she's going to get a lot of rewards in heaven. We laugh, but I think so. But my wife's not first in my life. And she doesn't want it that way, because if he's first, I'll treat her like I'm supposed to. I don't know about you. I want to know the Lord more.
Yes, sir.
She put God first when gave it to Elijah. She put God first when she gave her son to the man of God. Her faith was increased. Look at verse 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You think about something as we get ready to pray. Do you ever wonder why? You ever wonder why there, if you read in Acts chapter 2, you got Peter, and then I think it's chapter 3, 4, and 5, you got Peter and John. And then one other time there, I don't know if it's in 7 or 8, John's there with Peter, but John don't say nothing. I'm talking about the Apostle John. Then all of a sudden, the Apostle John is nowhere in sight. You don't see him the rest of Acts. You don't see him in the epistles. Next time you see John is when God uses him to write 1 John, which is in, a lot of people believe, the late 80s or early 90 ADs. What happened? Where was John? Remember at the cross, one of the sayings of Jesus. Jesus said, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. God had given John the responsibility to take care of his mama. Where was John all that time that the church was getting off the ground? And if you really want, he wasn't in the mix. He wasn't writing all those epistles. He didn't get to start all those churches. Where was John, the beloved apostle who put his head on the breast of Jesus? He was putting God first by taking care of Jesus' mama, Mary. He became the pastor of Ephesus. And it's believed that Mary is buried on the hill overlooking Ephesus. And after Mary died, and John got done obeying the Lord Jesus and putting him first, John got to know Jesus in a way nobody ever else has got to know. He got to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. He put him first. And guys, if you and I, as God's youngins, don't put the Lord first, who's going to?
Right.
And I guarantee you, if we'll do, guys, we'll honor him. We'll honor him. Oh, my name wasn't on a plaque. It wasn't mentioned here and yonder. Nobody knew me. But I get ready to take my last breath on this earth. I know I honored him. Woo! Wouldn't you like to go like that, guys?
Amen.
Then you take part in God's work. You have your needs met. Peace replaces fear. Maybe tonight, some peace needs to replace some fear tonight. We get to see God work. I know I'm talking to people. You're just like me. You're yearning. I don't want to hear from the folks what God used to. I want to see God do something now. I want to see God do something in my family, in my ministry. And then we get to know God in a better way. I want to know the Lord more, don't you?
Amen.
May God help us tonight to put him first. Let's stand. So heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know who's the sister that was playing. Would you mind come to the piano and play Have Thine Own Way? I appreciate that, sister, if you just come play Have Thine Own Way. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray, beginning with my own life, God, afresh and anew, help us to put you first. Oh, God, help us to make you preeminent in our life. May our hearts always yearn like the psalmist when he said, be pleased, Lord, be pleased. Oh, God, put that in our hearts. As a sister begins to play, I don't know how you've spoken to hearts, but maybe some folk just want to come and just respond in the invitation, maybe by how the Holy Spirit has dealt with them, God. Maybe we need to ask you to help us put you back in your rightful place. Maybe we need to ask you tonight, God, to replace fear with peace and get to our motive back like the Lord Jesus had. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, Father, help us, Father, help us. Thank you for Pastor Bass. I thank you for these dear people, God. I pray you continue to give him wisdom, God, as he leads this place. I pray, God, that you continue to give the people a heart to follow him as he follows you. And God, I pray you get much honor and glory from this ministry. As a sister plays, some folk have come. I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you tonight. Thank God for those that have come. Just mind the Lord tonight. Just mind the Lord. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.